Thanks, Greg. I'm going to share briefly, and then Andrew's going to share some things to the grads, and we're going to come up and pray for them and hear a bit from them. So I want to read in Psalm 119. For the junior youth, some of this is going to be a touch repetitive because it's somewhat similar to what Jason shared, but we were both planning on sharing about it at junior youth, but I wasn't able to make it because of some travel issues. But anyways, I just wanted to share some of the things that were in my heart anyways, even though I didn't get to share them for the junior youth. So Psalm, I read an article this week that Maddie had sent me about the value of God's word and the value and sort of anchoring on the verse in Psalm 119 verse 11. It says, "Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you." And I knew that verse. I think most of us probably know that verse, but the author of the article was really diving into this as a promise that by having God's word treasured in our heart, there is a power that can come to us that can help us to overcome sin. And I can say that even though it's obvious, and maybe this is obvious to all of you, when I read this article, it was kind of like fresh and new to me to read this verse and hear, like, you know what? By treasuring God's word in my heart, it can actually help me in my battle against sin. Moreover, there's actually a promise here that we wouldn't sin against God because his word is treasured in our heart. And the article went on to expound, and you're going to have to take my word for some of this, but you can look it up. He says that word treasured is actually a word that, well, not mistranslated treasured, it's actually most often translated hidden. And I think it's a bit of an important nuance because we can treasure something, but it can be quite external to us, right? Like we can treasure a person and maybe you'd say they're in our heart, but I don't think I would say, like, I treasure my wife. I don't think I would say I hide Madison in my heart. Like, I wouldn't say that I treasure her and she is in my heart. But the author was kind of emphasizing there's something to this about hiding God's word in our heart. And what does that mean? And he was expounding and saying it's a twofold act. It's one of seeking it out and finding it and like reading God's word and studying it and meditating on it. And also in that, it needs to get into our heart. Like if it's just something that's external to us, that we read it and then it just disappears out of our mind, or perhaps if we don't pay enough attention, we can't remember it. He says, like, we need to actually hide it in there. And that can come in, one of the most practical ways to do it is scripture memorization. Like he was saying, like, if you mix the two together, like scripture memorization alone, if it's just for trivia, just to say I can quote all these scriptures and make a list and tick it off, it may have some benefit. But there's a real significant benefit if it's being memorized and hidden in our heart and we're treasuring it and actually valuing it and seeing it as something that can make a difference in our lives. He says, when you mix that combination together, then the promise that I might not sin against you can actually be fulfilled in our lives. And I just was encouraged by that. And I know all of us would probably say, yeah, I know this, but I think as you look at the scriptures, I'm just going to read some, but like I think if you went through the Old Testament and the New Testament, like even in just the New Testament alone, where we read scriptures about, and I would say, I'll just, before I finish that statement, I would say when I think about also about treasuring God's word, I think about the principle that Jesus shared and James shared and elsewhere is shared in the New Testament that if we treasure God's word, if we want to see the fruit of this promise in our lives, there is a doing. There is an application to our lives that will come out of it. So again, I would say it's not just memorizing and knowing, but it's actually in applying and letting it guide our lives, letting it have an influence on our decisions and our actions, then there is great riches and great promise and great blessing to us if we take this attitude. And I think some of the verses I'm going to read today are going to expound on that. So I'll start in just 119. I'm just going to read a few verses here. I'm not going to say much about them, but I just was encouraged by them. Even in the first verse, and it says this elsewhere, you can read this throughout the Psalms, but I'll just read it here. It says, "How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart." So this was in the Old Covenant. The author here was writing about the blessing of keeping the instruction and laws that God had provided through the prophets and through Moses and others. But he said that they were blessed who walked in them, who observed them, who practiced them. And so my question to you is that an Old Testament thing? And in the New Testament, we would say, well, this doesn't apply to us? I would say no. The only difference I see is that we have an even greater law, and I'll hear me out on this. We have an even greater law that we can walk in, and in that we have even greater blessings and promises that can apply to us. But the same principle applies, that those are blessed who walk in it. Those are blessed who observe it. And one verse I'll just read, there's many, but one verse I'll read on this is in James. James chapter 1, verse 25. "But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty." So this is not the old covenant law, but this is the new covenant law of life, the law of liberty. Elsewhere, I think Paul would call it maybe the law of life in Christ Jesus, but there's still an intently looking into this law of liberty and then abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. This man will be blessed in what he does. It's saying the same thing. It's pointing us to the law of liberty, but it's saying the same thing. And I would say, just for clarity, we know that our righteousness comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. We know that any good that's going to come is through the work of God's grace in our lives. So when it's talking about being a doer, it's talking about seeking to do these things by faith. Show me your faith by your works, right? It's saying be doers through faith and let God's grace work in our lives to accomplish that which he is asking us to do. But if we have that attitude of not being forgetful hearers, that we just hear God's word and we immediately forget it, we don't let it apply to our lives, we don't treasure it, we don't treasure God's word, we don't hide it in our hearts, those who do not do those things, I would argue, are the forgetful hearers. But those who treasure God's word, those who hide it in their heart, are the ones who are going to be seeking to apply it and to do it. It says we will be blessed. We will be blessed, and the blessings that we are offered are so much greater than the blessings of the old covenant. I would say as high as, I've heard this shared before, but like as high as the heavens are above the earth are our blessings, because our blessings are the heavenly blessings. Our blessings are to have our character conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. The blessing is to have his peace in our lives, to have his joy, to have the fruits of the Spirit. Because the one thing I was thinking, and this is now me and just my own reflection, but think about it. I was thinking like in the old covenant, they had these promises and these laws given. The promises were like health and wealth and victory over their enemies. A lot of these promises that were given. And in keeping these laws, and even in the instruction given about meditating on them, I think there was like a meditating so that it could come to mind and they could obey it. But I would say in the new covenant, it's like some of the ways it's even greater is that in meditating and hiding God's words in our heart, the promise we have is that we can actually become We can actually become those things that we're believing and that we're reading and that we're understanding. In the old covenant, there was a wisdom and there was a path that they could follow and be guided on through knowing God's word, but the changing, transforming work of grace, the transforming work of being born again, they did not have that. And yet still, the author here knew that he was blessed to seek to know and follow God's instructions. But we have the promise that if we believe and understand and read these things and take them to heart, we can actually be changed into the very things we're reading. The very promises we're reading can actually transform our lives. And they didn't have that. They may have had it in part, but they do not have it in the fullness that we have it in the new covenant. And so when I say the promises that we have are so much higher, that's kind of what I'm referring to and trying to, I know I'm just sort of catching a glimpse of it, but I that's where my heart is going in wanting to get my own life excited about this and seeking to apply some of these things that we're reading here. So a few more I want to read. Let's read verse 9. I mean, these are common scriptures, but again, the promise is here. Like, how can a young man or young woman keep his way pure? Or how can any of us keep our way pure? How can any of us, do we desire our lives to be pure? Do we? I hope everyone would say yes. Well, the promise here is that we can do it by keeping it according to God's word, by truly studying and treasuring God's word in our heart and believing it and applying it. God gives us the promise that we can keep our way pure. And if he could do it in the old covenant, for a young man in the old covenant, if this is the promise to a young man in the old covenant, how much more the promise to us who have been given such greater riches and such greater promises and the grace of God in our lives? It's only more so. It's only more so. And I'd say part of it, you can even take it from like just the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. It's like, the old covenant, this young man in the old covenant could keep his way pure and that he would not commit adultery. He could turn from evil and amount in the laws that God had given him. But in the new covenant, the promise is that God can actually change our hearts. That purity that God was calling them to externally, that purity that he'd given them that they should seek after through the law and instruction he'd given them, we can actually partake of that purity in our lives. That purity that he was promising to the young man can actually become part of us. It's not just something we observe to follow because we know it's good, but it can act, our hearts can actually be made pure. Our lives can be made pure, and actually the substance of what God was wanting them to do with the instructions, that substance can actually become a reality in our lives. And that's the promise we're given. And I think, though, some of the condition that's here, I would say the promises are greater, but some of the conditions are the same. We have to be willing to keep it according to his word, to let his word apply to our lives and speak to our hearts, to challenge us, to give us instruction that we should follow. So a few more verses here. Let's look at Psalm 37, verse 31. Nope. That is not it. How did I miss that? I wrote down the wrong verse, sorry. It says his feet from slipping. That's what I wrote down. There's a verse. Oh, was I in the wrong chapter? Yes, 37 verse. Oh yeah, sorry, I was reading the wrong verse. Okay, thank you. Sorry about that. It says, the mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of God is in his heart, and his steps do not slip. So it's the same kind of principle, but this is just another application that if we have the law of God in our heart, if we're looking intently into that law of liberty, we have the promise that it can keep our footsteps firm, that we can find our journey, our walk one, where we're not slipping and falling and sliding. And I think any one of us, if you sincerely look at this, what, like, I look at my own life, and you may say, I don't look at this and say, is the slip gross sin? For some, yeah. For some of us, yes. We need God to help us, to keep us from stumbling back into gross sin that wants to ensnare and destroy us. But for myself, when I see my footsteps do not slip, I think of, can I go a week? Can I go a month? Or can I go and see that my life is transformed, where the sharp words, where those words of anger, those slips, because for all of us, if you think honestly, is that a slip? I think it is. When I respond in anger to someone, when I let sharp words come out of my mouth that are not the words of the Holy Spirit, that don't build up or even correct in a healthy way, but actually tear down and cut, that are coming from my own anger and frustration, I consider that a slip. My steps in that moment just slipped. I just had a little stumble there. Now, when I read this, I think this, having this promise that the law of God is in my heart and I will not slip, I think there's something there that I want to grow in more. I want God's law and his word and his truth to be in my heart, guiding me, instructing me, teaching me. And it's through the Holy Spirit, and it's his grace that will make this happen. I'm not saying that if you memorize enough verses, all of a sudden this will happen, but it is mixed together. Like, if we treasure his word, if it's in our heart, if we're meditating on it, and we're truly seeking to have it change our lives, I was encouraged to think that, yes, there's more that of God's grace that can be available in my life, because I have treasured his word in my heart. And I was thinking of a few examples, or one example of this specifically is just the testimony of Jesus, right? Well, how did Jesus resist the devil in his temptation? He was quoting scripture. The devil was coming to him with lies and different deceptions, and it was the word of God that he was clinging to and applying in those situations to put the devil to chase, right? To put the devil to chase. It's an offensive weapon. That's one of the things that came out of the article. They were starting a scripture memory challenge for their church, which is great. And I'm not like, yeah, maybe we need to think about that. But either way, they described the verses that they were memorizing as fighter verses. Verses to fight the devil and his temptations. And how do we fight him? It's not just through, there's good fighter verses that promise us that he will flee, but there's other fighter verses about keeping ourselves that we can use to resist temptation when they come. These are fighter verses that we can apply just as Jesus did when he was tempted by the devil and have the Holy Spirit bring them to remembrance. It's kind of like, if I would see it as this way, is if we're getting God's word in our heart and we're truly treasuring it, it's like we're building up a treasure chest that at the right time, the Holy Spirit can pull something out and say, this is what you need right now. This is the truth you need right now to sustain you, to help you, to carry you through this, to give you wisdom, to help you be encouraged, or to help you encourage another person. But if the treasure box is empty, I would argue there's only so much the Holy Spirit can do. But I'd also say this, that even if we're just getting started, I was having a conversation with a brother this week who's just sort of taking some steps, and even in that, just read a verse, and the Holy Spirit made it real, made that one verse real. And all of a sudden, there was a power there. There was something the Holy Spirit could do. And why was it? Because there was an effort, and you could look back and say, oh, there was, maybe the treasure box isn't that full. That's fine. The treasure box was starting to get a few things put into it, and maybe there wasn't a ton in there, but the Holy Spirit was able to grab one of those things and say, this, cling to this, believe this, and it will bring a change in your life. And that's encouragement to all of us, irrespective of where we're at in our journey, that we need to continue to fill it up, to continue to fill up that treasure box and give fuel for the Holy Spirit to bring a fire in our lives, to bring about things to remembrance, to bring about encouragement and all the promises that are there. Okay, I'm going to read one last scripture. It was in Hebrews chapter 8. And I just encourage you, like, I was looking at this, and if you went through, like I said at the beginning, if you go through, or maybe I never finished this thought, if you go through the Old Testament and the New, like, you could find hundreds of promises about what God can do through his word, through either treasuring it, believing it, obeying it, knowing it. Like, there's hundreds of promises that are there for us who from taking God's word and treating it as what it is, as God's word to us, and actually letting it bring and letting it get into our hearts and to seek after it, to seek it out. There are so many wonderful promises. I'm just reading a few, but there's tons. So I'll maybe just read this last in Hebrews 8, chapter 10, just expounding a little bit more on the new covenant. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put their laws, or put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen and everyone his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all will know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. These are the promises of the new covenant. But I have a question for you. When it says, I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, does that mean that in the new covenant, we're absolved from studying God's word and knowing it? In the old covenant, they had to study, and it was pretty hard work. But in the new covenant, it's just going to be there. It's just going to be in our hearts and our minds, and that's it? I would argue no. This promise is true, but I would argue this. To the extent that we are seeking to know God's word, like he wants to write. And I think what this is trying to call out is the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant is not that we don't need to seek out the word of God as treasure, to seek out his law, to obey it and to follow it. The difference is that it can actually be written in our hearts. It's not external. It's not a set of rules to know by looking at or just memorizing. It's actually something that God will write into our hearts and change us, as I was saying earlier, that actually becomes part of us. It actually becomes who we are. And I would argue in the old covenant, they didn't have that promise. They didn't have that promise that they could actually become, that they could actually become what God was writing. But we have that promise that we can actually become, our lives can actually take on the nature and the character of God as revealed in his word. We can actually become that. But we need to desire that. We need to seek it out. We need to know it. We need to understand who God is. And he wants every one of us to know him. It says that from the least to the greatest, from the person who was born again yesterday, who just started on their walk with Christ, to a young person, to anyone sincerely seeking him. He desires to be known by them, and they will know him. There's no partiality with God. Those who seek him will find him. From the least to the greatest. That's the promise. But we need to seek. We need to seek for it as treasure, and that hasn't changed. And the promises that are there are greater, but I think the principle of God's word, of seeking it out and applying it and hunting for it in our lives and seeking for it as treasure, that has not changed. And that was the encouragement I had from reading this article and just from the scriptures that I was looking at as I went through it. And we were thinking today a little even about the grads, and Andrew's going to share more, but like each of you who's graduating today, this is for you. It's for all of us, but this is for you. You want to know the Lord. You want to know his will for your life. You want to have a relationship with him that is an anchor, that is a blessing in your life, that even goes beyond that which we in obeying our parents and hearing from them, there's a great blessing and promise. But what's more than that, God wants to draw you into a relationship directly with him, where he alone is not he alone, not to the exclusion of other counselors, but where we're getting to know him. And in that, there's a promise that if we take God's word, we take the things we've heard and apply them in our life and treasure them as we go through having to make decisions as our life and we have less certainty, it's not as necessarily as straight and clear of a path. God wants us to look to him for guidance, to look to him for instruction, to help us and guide us. But we need his word in our heart as an anchor, as something that can put posts along the way to help us stay on a good path. And that, to me, is an encouragement for you and for all of us as to how some of what I've been sharing can be applied to our lives and bring about the blessing that is promised there.